this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Okay, in the immortal words of whoever it was. thank you, God. In the immortal words of Alfred E. Newman, and for those of you who are young, you'll have to check that. He's a cultural icon from the 60s and 70s. In the immortal words of Alfred E. Newman, what, me worry? When we're looking at the first three verses of Psalms 46, it's the last verse, well, it's the last word in Psalm 46 that really caught my attention. Selah. Now, in the modern NIV, you won't have the word Selah there for some reason. So if you're wondering why it's not in there, doesn't matter what time or day, just ring Pastor Chris and I'm sure he'll give you a full explanation. Normally ring him after midnight because he's resting and I'm sure he's got plenty of time. But Selah. Selah is a word that basically means pause, stop, think, consider this. And why it's there is because you'll see in that last verse or the last two verses of Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3, talking about the waters roaring and the mountains quaking. And the reason why God says stop is because you have to consider who you're dealing with. You're dealing with God, the immortal God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he can deal with every situation. There is nothing that he cannot deal with in your life. Think about it. We have the advantage. The greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have a covenant with God. And when we're looking at these verses, what do we see? All scripture is God-breathed. This can be just words on paper, or this can be God-breathed into your life. Now, it depends on what you do with it. And the reason why he said, stop, consider, Selah, is because we worry. That's what these verses are about. There's a great and mighty God who can take care of your life. So why are you worrying? It's because you practice it. In in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. And you're probably thinking to yourself, well, if God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, why am I so afraid? Again, it's because you practice it. In Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ. So with that little bit of background, let's have a look at these verses. Psalm 46, for the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. What you need to know about the sons of Korah is they separated themselves from their father Korah when in Exodus the sand opened up and Korah and the rebellious descendants, they went down into the ground. They were swallowed up. None of them lived except for some of his sons who moved away. And the interesting thing is you'll find later on in Chronicles where Samuel is mentioned that he comes from the line of Korah, from the sons of Korah. So God redeemed that family line. So he sort of cut out the cancer of rebellion, and then the sons of Korah were able to come up with these fantastic psalms, and the prophet Samuel, one of the greatest men in the Old Testament, came from that situation. In verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Now I'm thinking about that. What does that mean, God is our refuge and strength? You know, May the 11th, now you'll all remember this, I'm sure. May the 11th, 1932, San Diego, USA, there was an airship called the USS Akron, which was being moored by, I'm assuming, about 200 sailors, from what I've read. When the USS Akron, which was a big airship, it had machine guns, it was sort of like an aircraft carrier of the air, had biplanes underneath it. A gust of wind came along and picked up the Akron and pushed it into the air. And most of these sailors let go, But some of them held on. And as they flew higher and higher into the air, about 200 feet, after a few minutes, they just couldn't hold on anymore. And they let go and they fell to the ground and they died. And people are on the ground, you know, screaming, fainting, doing whatever they do, looking up. What can we do? We can't do anything for these men. But there was one man up there, a CM, what's his name again? CM Coward. It's amazing how you need notes when you're up here. I practiced at home, but here we go. a CM Coward, he was a seaman. And he was up there hanging onto that rope for about 2 hours before they were able to pull the rope aboard the airship, and he was rescued. And when they got the airship back down to the ground and they bring the ambulance out and they think, this man's exhausted, he's going to need help. You know what they found? The guy was fine, because he knew something. Don't hold the rope. Let the rope hold you. He wrapped the rope around him so that he wouldn't fall. He was held by a greater force than his own strength. So what is it about God? He's a greater force than we are. But the thing is, we become warriors. We worry about our problems, our situations in life. And God says, Selah, stop, think about me. Go to my promises, go to the living word. And what we do is we take God's word and we sow it into our life until it grows and becomes strong. So instead of worrying about the problems of life, you start to find your refuge and strength in the word of God. Amen. Now, as we move along, so for God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Fear came into the garden at the Garden of Eden. That's when fear came in. Now, quickly, while it's still a few minutes, I remember the story of a man who was in a major car accident. He and his family. His family was more injured than he was. But the man, he gets out of the car and he walks around to the car, and people heard him say, I'm a dead man. And he died, but he was the least injured of all the people in the car. And it turns out that fear will kill you. The fear of what had happened to him killed him, yet his family survived. From the Garden of Eden, what happened back there? The first thing that Adam said was, I'm afraid. And that fear has passed on all the way through till today. But the thing is, God says we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. What we feed on will determine what we believe. Will we allow fear to reign in our lives, or will we let faith in the word of God reign in our lives? It's what we feed on. So if you're sort of like a news addict, I'm a bit like that, but if you're a news addict or if you watch too much TV, what are you sowing in the soil of your heart? If you want to have the best of God in your life, you've got to be prepared to be a disciple, a disciplined one. Cut some of that off and start planting good seed, because it's the seed of God's word that will grow. And you, as you're connected to the vine and you're the branch, you'll develop the fruit. Okay. One last thing before my time runs out. Though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, and we know Selah. One thing I've noticed is, if you're in a hurricane, and if you want to survive a hurricane, Willie's the man. If you want to survive a hurricane, be in a submarine. Because in a submarine, you can go to a level under the ocean. You can go to a place where you're not affected by what's happening above. And again, that's the God's word. When the storms of life are battering you around, you need to be in a place of security, of strength, a fortress. You need to be in a place where you're secure, and that comes from God's word. Amen. So Joshua, I'll finish it off with 52 seconds. I'll finish it off with Joshua 1 verse 8. I'm cutting out a lot of stuff, so Joshua 1 verse 8. Keep this book of the law. Now remember, Joshua, he took over from Moses. So do you think he might have been a bit stressed? Here's a man taking over from the greatest leader of Israel, and it's just me, Joshua, the apprentice. It says, and God says to Joshua, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. For us today, living under the new covenant, we're to go to God's word, find the promises of God that fit your situation, meditate and grow in God's word. Let the word of God grow roots. It says in the fourth chapter of Mark that the word of God, and it's God's principle from the very beginning, seed, time and harvest. Thank you very much. My time is up. Oh, go on. Yeah, finish that. So the thing is, you've got to keep the word of God growing in your heart. Fourth chapter of Mark, the seed of the word of God will grow no matter what happens to you in life. If you're allowing God's word to grow in your inner man, it will strengthen you. It will secure you in life. And the thing is, in Romans, it says about being transformed by the complete renewal of your mind. What you need as a Christian to overcome the things of this earth, this world, is to have the word of God in your mind transforming it. And that will be the gateway into your spirit, where the word of God will set down roots. And like the 14th chapter of the book of John, you'll be attached to the vine. You will be the branch and the fruit will grow on it. That's great. Amen. Thank you. Matthew. Yeah.
Thank you. Can we just have another round of applause for Les? We had a group chat this week, and me, Les, and the third unnamed man. Les posted his notes in the group chat, and he could have easily talked for an hour, and it would have been interesting, all of it. Like, I feel bad that he had to cut it down to 10 minutes. It was so much. But, so Les read from verses 1 to 3. I'm up here, and I'm going to be reading from 4 to 7. So I'll just read through to start with that. And it says in verse 4, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, a holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." So let's just break down, starting with verse 4. It says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells." Starting off talking about this city of God and where it dwells, I think in that time it was definitely talking about Jerusalem as a physical place. But now, because of what we've had Jesus done, that this place where the river flows to, where he dwells, it can be anything. It can be this church or our youth group. It can be your household. It can be like a connect group you're holding, or even just you as a person. But it describes God's spirit as a river here. And as I was thinking about this scripture this week, I was thinking about, why does it describe it as a river? And I came to the conclusion that a river very rarely stops. There's never like a point where a river is flowing into a city and it just stops there and doesn't go anywhere. Rivers go into a town and they flow through the town and onto the next thing. And the things that it flows to, it says, it makes glad. And so this river, that anywhere it's flowing to, into you or your household and through you, is making glad because that is where he dwells. Going on to the next verse, "God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day." I just love that end sentence there, that she will not fall. Now, this isn't to say that just because you walk with God that you will be free from any troubles. That's not what this line is saying. In fact, I think that next line is saying that you will help, because God will help her implies that you're going to need help. You don't get help when you're doing just fine. If you're working walking with God, the devil is going to attack you, and he's going to try and make you veer off the path. And even in the next verse, verse 6, it says, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. As a youth leader, I know countless nights where things don't go to plan. Like, we have nights where things don't go to plan, but then we have moments that you feel his presence in. But there was a time a couple years ago where, like, it didn't feel like we were doing anything. Like, we had a decent group of kids, but it seemed like none of them wanted to learn, and nothing that we were doing were getting through to them. And it was tough. And to a point where the other two leaders that were running it with me wanted to take a step back from youth. They felt burnt out. And I was looking at it, and as much as I wanted youth to keep going, it felt like a real possibility that youth was going to stop and that we couldn't be able to do it anymore. And we took a pause from youth, and we changed the team dynamics. And even when we came back, we had nights where there were 3 to 4 leaders and then just Malachi. And it's great to have him there. But it feels a little disheartening having worked out this whole term plan and having all these people come and take time out of the days for one kid. As much as we love Malachi, it would be nice to get some others. I've seen youth grow and shrink so many times. But what I really think kept youth alive in those hard times is that every single night, every night we started youth, me and the team would get together and we'd pray. And we wanted to invite God into the youth. And because we know that we can't do it through our own strength, we need to work through God's strength. It's just that simple line that God is within her, she will not fall. We know that God is in command, but that doesn't mean he always takes control. He allows sin and chaos in this world, but at break of day, that moment when God decides, where the light shines and it removes all shadows, where whenever he decides, and ultimately at the end of time, there will be complete justice on the earth when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So the final verse from me, verse 7, reads, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And it's really comforting to think of God as a fortress, because thinking of a fortress is the place where you run to when you're under attack. And it's a place that's designed to be hard for the enemies to get into. If we hadn't invited God into the youth every night, and we were dealing with these problems of kids that didn't care or just lack of numbers, it would be like we were fighting this battle, which felt like a losing battle at the time, like we were fighting it from outside of the fortress, which is a ridiculous thought, because when you look at it, God is so readily available for us. It's like the fortress is just here, but I'm going to stand here at the front and try and fight off the enemies. It's ridiculous. We have this advantage to us. So if we invite God into what we're doing, he will protect us. And if we trust in his sovereignty, we won't be shaken by any battles that we go through or any circumstances that we are presented with. Amen, church? Amen. All right. That's all from me. So I'm going to invite the last man up, and a powerful man of God, someone that I personally have looked up to. Welcome up, Caleb.
Thank you, Matthew. Surprise. Here I am. Great job, gentlemen. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this, your word, which is living and active. And I pray this morning you would reveal the scripture to us through the words of my mouth. Amen. All right, so Psalm 46. Now I'm doing the last third, so from verse 8 to verse 11. So I'll just read through it with you all. From verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done. This is in the NIV. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. This is exciting. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And then verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now that's, I like verse 11, Matthew shared on that too. It repeats it twice in the psalm. So the sons of Korah repeat that last line again. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So they're picking Jacob. Jacob's an interesting character. It's not David. You think they would have picked some more epic, this sort of language, you think they would have picked like a King David or a, one of the great prophets, but or even Abraham, the great patriarch, but they've chosen Jacob. So I just thought I'd share a little bit about Jacob because he's obviously someone we need to pay attention to. So Jacob, we read about Jacob in Genesis, and I won't go into all the details, but just high level. Jacob was the son of Isaac and Rebekah. He was a twin, so he was the younger brother of his brother Esau. And it says Esau was a man of the field and a hunter, and Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in the tents. Beautiful, quiet soul, just pottering around in the tents while his brother's out in the field. And Isaac, his father, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So obviously many of you know these details. But like many brotherly relationships, there was some conflict. I got four siblings, three brothers and a sister. I have seen my fair share of sibling conflict and rivalry. One story that came to mind is one time we were staying at our cousin's house in Christchurch. We were on our way up for a Christmas holiday, so we're staying overnight in Christchurch. My older brother Isaac and the cousin, they were really keen to sneak out and use the neighbor's trampoline in the middle of the night because the neighbors were away and we didn't have a trampoline. So it was like, yeah. So we had heard about it. We heard them leave. It was probably like midnight. So they have crept out of the house and then we can hear them, yeah, ding, ding, ding. And me being the younger brother and my cousin, we just quietly went behind them, slid the door shut and locked the door. And then got back into bed. So they're having a ball, they're bouncing, they're going crazy. And then they come back in. The door's locked, check the front door. So then they're checking all the doors of the house, every door. We were good, we've locked every door and every window. All the adults are asleep, all the kids are asleep. So then there's a particular kind of knock where you want to wake someone up that's close, but not everyone in the whole house. So the knock started, just a gentle knock. And then the knocking increased. Come on, guys, we're freezing out here. And in the end, ding, 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 ding. They're ringing the doorbell. Please let us in. We're sorry. Ding, ding. What are you guys doing out here? And we were loving it. Just a good little moment for a younger brother to have a win. Classic lock the door trick. We've all done it. It's simple and effective. Fairly innocent. Jacob was on another level. Jacob is out of control. So we read about Jacob's trickery in Genesis verse 27. So Isaac is about to die, and Isaac says to Esau, his favorite, the older son, go out and hunt, go and kill an animal, prepare it for me, I'm going to have a meal, and then I'm going to bestow upon you a blessing, the blessing that he received from his father, this impartation of God's supernatural and divine blessing. So Esau, okay, Dad, I'll do that. He heads off. But Rebekah overhears this and she says, Jacob, to her favorite, the younger son, who's not entitled to this blessing, Jacob, go and put on your brother's clothes. I'll prepare the meal and we'll get your dad to bless you instead of Jacob, which on so many levels is messed up. Like Esau's her son too, but anyway, she's got her favorite. So he does. He puts on the coat. He wrap some animal skins around the smooth skin of Jacob to make him. And then he goes into his father and puts on his toughest voice. Hey, Dad, I got the goat. Here it is for you, mate. And Chris Hemsworth, yeah. Isaac's blind, so his blind father's like, really? Is that you, Esau? Yep, it's me. Here's your goat. Let's go. So he sort of questions him. Okay, it must be you. He smells him. He feels him. Okay, it's really Esau. So he eats the meal, and then he bestows this blessing on Jacob, the younger son, and all hell breaks loose. Esau comes back and hears about it. He is furious, and he actually says he wants to murder his son. He's like, I am done with this guy. So Jacob runs. He runs. He leaves his home. He's out of there. Leaves behind some baggage, some mess. He's got his blind father who's just given away his blessing to his son who tricked him, so he feels ripped off. Esau is obviously being ripped off. Rebecca's left to sort of keep the peace amongst the family, but she was complicit in this. She coordinated all this. And despite all of this, Jacob is ridiculously blessed. So he leaves, he goes and stays with his uncle for 20 years. He is no longer dwelling in the tents. He is working his guts out. He is working in the field for his dodgy uncle who's ripping him off and stealing all the goats and all this sort of stuff. His uncle's a total cheat. But despite all this, God honors their blessing and he gets ridiculously blessed. And he eventually returns to his home country, very wealthy, but he's got a couple of conflicts that he needs to resolve. He's got a psychopathic uncle who doesn't want this guy who has generated all his wealth to leave. He's got a vengeful brother, and he's got these hostile inhabitants who suddenly this rich traveler with all his animals and not much for protection, is wandering around in the country. But I just want to jump forward to this verse, which is Genesis 35, verse 5. So this is about Jacob and his family. They set out, and the terror of God fell on the towns all around them so that no one pursued them. No one came anywhere near this guy. They were terrified of Jacob, who, on appearance, there wasn't much to prevent you from taking from him, but God intervened. So Jacob wasn't worthy, and he had done a lot of pretty shameful things, and he had really messed up some stuff, but it still didn't disqualify him. And the same God who delivered Jacob from all his adversities is the same God who delivers us from ours. And so maybe you're facing some adversity today. Maybe that you've got a dodgy boss/uncle or some conflict in your home or between friends, or maybe it's a health adversity or a financial adversity. We all have these adversities that we come up against. But this psalm is an encouragement to us that the God of Jacob, who preserved Jacob, who really didn't deserve it, but God protected him. He put his hand over him. He sheltered him. He was his refuge. He'll do the same for us too. That's what this scripture promises us. But it's up to us. The onus is on us, like Les said, to selah, to be still, to rest in God. And in verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." So if I could get the band up here, please. And I just want to read the psalm. I thought we could all read it together. So it said that Martin Luther, when he heard any discouraging news, he would say, "Come, let us sing Psalm 46. And I thought together we could read through this verse together because it is an encouragement to us all. So I'm not sure if we got there. There it is there. Let's read it together. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." Selah. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of dawn." Day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, he lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Thank you, church.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.